still have only hit two games, but this is what happens when they are masterful and mammoth and major and massive battles like we saw in Week 11. Even Sunday Night Football, which was not one of our candidates for Game of the Week, certainly turned into a doozy. Spending some time on Chiefs and Bills now, you want to talk about massive. The ratings for this game on CBS TV will be through the roof, I would say. Topping 30 million, that's my guess, but we'll see when the numbers come out early this week. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. Not only did the Bills get the 26-yard run through traffic by Josh Allen with about 2:15 left in the game, but the defense had one last stand.
Mahomes in the shotgun, takes the snap, back to pass. Has time, rolls to his right to buy more, heaves it down the field, and it's intercepted! Picked off by Terrell Bernard! Game, set, match! Buffalo's gonna emerge victorious with 107 to play! Oh my goodness!
It's not a statement. It's the next game, and it's hard to win games, you know that. And to win nine and to win against a team, that's won back-to-back Super Bowls and coached by Andy Reid and quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes. It's always going to be tough. These games that we've played have always been close.
It's not a statement. That's what we hear from Bills coach Sean McDermott. Even though Buffalo has won six in a row and now has the same number of wins as the Chiefs. Kansas City 9-1, the Bills 9-2 in the AFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome another member of that Bills Radio Network, Sal Capaccio, sideline reporter, down in the trenches. Let's talk about the magnitude of this game. Should we believe Sean McDermott? What kind of reaction did you hear after this big win?
I think they're taking their cues from their coach, Amy, Sean McDermott, who approaches every game the same, every week, very consistently, and it's the next game. And you'll hear Josh Allen talk about that a lot. He said that many times after this game. It's just the next game. It's, you know, it's week 11. And, you know, for the Bills, they do have a bye week coming up next week. They have a late bye week. And I think this comes at the great time where they can kind of, you know, get over the emotional high to get reset a little bit. And then, as several players said, basically get ready for another run, meaning, hey, we've had this run here of 11 games, take a little break. Now we get another run and we head into the playoffs. But Von Miller, he said, hey, look, I know Coach said that. This was a big game. This is why you play, to play games like this. So it's not lost on anybody how big of a win this was for the Bills. But we all know that these two teams will most likely play again in 2 months.
Well, not to mention this team is on the type of hot streak and has the type of record that we haven't seen since the Bills last made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, they are 9-2 for the first time since 1992. I mean, that's 32 years ago, right? It's unbelievable to think about. Especially, I mean, what's incredible to me is I would go on radio shows like yours or others around the country in August. People would ask me about the Bills, and they'd eventually say, is this a step back year, Sal? Because look at all these changes, and there's no more Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis or Mitch Morse or Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer. And they kind of ripped off the Band-Aid, and they're, you know, making sure they get a little younger and have some salary cap issues. And I'd always say, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And as long as you have Sean McDermott coaching your defense, you have a chance. Well, guess what? Those two things coming together, McDermott's defense is playing as well as it has, you know, over the last several years, and it's always very good. And Josh Allen could be the MVP of the league. So it's amazing to me that while people thought this could be literally a step back year for the Bills, it's actually the best season they've had in 32 years.
I was actually going to ask you later in our conversation about why it's coming together so quickly. But since you brought it up, why is it coming together much more easily than many people expected?
Here's why, Amy, because the Bills have something that very few organizations have. The Chiefs have it. The Ravens have it. A couple others do. But so many organizations covet, and that is a ownership, a GM, and a head coach that are together, aligned, have the same philosophy and continuity between all of them. And what's happened here is Brandon Bean has had the opportunity, and I'll even say luxury, I guess, in some respect, over the last few years to not only draft and grab players for the present to win, but also the future and say, look, we don't have to have this guy play right now, but we can put him in our system. He'll develop. And look what's happening. They're banged up. but guys are stepping up all over the place. These aren't guys who are just walking in off the street. These are guys that the Bills have been developing that you didn't know about them on the practice squad, and nobody ever heard of their names. Guys like Jamarcus Ingram, who comes in and makes and plays fantastic a while back. Ryan Vandermark, who had to start at right tackle today. Ryan Vandermark had 74 snaps accounted in his entire NFL career. But yet he's been in the Bills organization for 3 years. Mm. These are guys they're developing. It's not actually so quickly. This group has still been together, but they haven't had the opportunity necessary to play these guys. And I think it's something that organizations covet, and the Buffalo Bills have it right now. Plus, let's be honest, they have Josh Allen, and that's a big reason why. When Josh Allen plays the way Josh Allen did today, you can beat any team.
We're always excited to have Sal Capaccio with us on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Off the Bills sideline today for a raucous atmosphere between Buffalo and Kansas City, one of the great AFC rivalries and certainly a terrific battle on Sunday. What was your perspective, Sal? 4th and 2 get snapped for the Bills late in the game, and Josh Allen breaks ankles and coverage and ends up in the end zone for a 26-yard run.
Well, first of all, a what are they going to do situation, right? Nobody kind of knew. Is he going to keep the offense in the field? Is he going to kick a field goal? Anybody who says that Sean McDermott's a conservative coach because he's from the defensive side of the ball hasn't been paying attention. He has not been that conservative over the last several years. Now, I would say that in some moments he can be conservative and too conservative, but all coaches have those moments. Sean McDermott's actually been pretty aggressive throughout the last several years, and especially in games like this against teams with high-powered offenses where he knows that he's going to have to, you know, make one more play. And when they kept the offense on the field, I applauded it because they could have kicked what we call the field goal of death, which is the field goal of death is, okay, you kick a field goal, you go up 5, what did it really matter? Because all it takes is Patrick Mahomes to go down and score 7, you still lose anyway. So he said, I'm going to let one of the best players in the league and our best player put the ball in his hands. Amy, you won't find many people who love their job more than me. I love being on the Buffalo Bills sidelines and being a part of the energy on the field as the broadcaster, and it's unbelievable. But I will tell you, this is my 11th year on the sidelines. There are very, very special moments that happen sometimes when it just becomes unbelievable to be a part of. That run was one of those moments I've been a part of. It was incredible. As he's running, and you kind of knew he was going to get to the end zone, the crescendo of the crowd in that stadium, I'm getting chills just talking to you about it. Like, you're talking to a kid here who grew up in Buffalo going to these games in this stadium. And now I'm on the field on the sidelines broadcasting these games. I know what it's like for those fans to be up and watch that. And I get to experience it. And today was one of those really special moments when that happened.
There are obviously some other really impressive moments for Josh Allen, finding Curtis Samuel for the touchdown. We also saw him extend plays. Just the way that they were able to move the ball. I know they had a few punts in there, especially in that third quarter where they started out with 4 straight punts between the two of them.
Yeah.
But they still had great success against a defense with the Chiefs that's championship caliber. Why did it work so well today?
Well, they converted third downs today. They were 9 of 15, 60%. That was a really big deal. And it wasn't like they were in really easy third down situations either. There were a few that were very tough, long yardage situations. But the Bills did a really nice job on third down. And obviously that was Josh Allen using his legs and some really clutch catches. Curtis Samuel made a couple, as you alluded to. Khalil Shakir, as he always does, made a couple. But that was a big reason why. The Bills did not run the ball very well in this game. And, you know, the Chiefs are tough to run against. They're the number 2 run per play defense in the NFL. Outside of Josh Allen, the Bills ran for less than 3 yards a carry. So it was a grind. They were in a lot of 3rd and 7s and 3rd and 8s, but they kept doing it. And then because, like you said, they had to punt a few times. First of all, give credit to Sam Martin, the Bills punter. He punted 3 times today. And out of those 3 punts, the drive starts for the Chiefs were their own 8, their own 14, and their own 20. So the Bills played a field position game. And the Chiefs, as we know, aren't the same team as in years past where they're not getting these explosives. So they made the Chiefs grind for everything they had, and the Bills are a good enough defense where if you're going to have to grind and grind, eventually we'll be able to stop you, and they played that game too.
What stands out about the Bills' defensive performance, considering the game was still hanging in the balance there late, but they were able to turn Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over?
The pressure that they applied, they did a really nice job. Bobby Babich, in his first year as a defensive coordinator, he's done a really great job this year, but he called a great game today. And, you know, yes, it is Sean McDermott's, defense, his philosophy that Bobby works under because he's been with Sean since he got here to Buffalo. Bobby did a great job of dialing up certain pressures and making sure that they moved Mahomes off his spot. The Bills had 7 quarterback hits to go along with 2 interceptions. They sacked him a couple of times. When they played in the playoffs last year, Terrell Bernard didn't play in that game. Terrell Bernard's one of the best middle linebackers in the league. He didn't play. He was hurt. The Bills grabbed A.J. Klein literally off a plane that was, he was going on vacation, retired, to come out and play that game. That was a big difference today to have Terrell Bernard healthy. The next time these two teams play, if they do, and we're all anticipating they're going to meet up in the playoffs, the Chiefs will probably have Isaiah Pacheco back, and the Bills are going to have Matt Milano back. I mean, they're still going to be different than they were today.
Sal Capaccio is with us fresh off what was the game of the week between the Bills and the Chiefs. And the last four had been decided by a single score. So this one, 9 points. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. When you see the Chiefs, the offense, according to Patrick Mahomes, hasn't played its best football yet. But what did you see with the Chiefs? A team that never blows opponents out. They were undefeated until this day, but they never blow teams out, Sal.
Right, and going into this game, you know, you knew that. You knew that this was going to be a close game, one-score game most likely. I know it turned out to be two because the Chiefs are the kind of team that plays close games now. The reason is they don't really have explosive capabilities right now. Now, they do have it sometimes when you get, like, Xavier Worthy today had a ball that he beat the Bills down the field. The Bills had a blown coverage, but he didn't keep both feet in bounds. It was a big play, so it didn't count for them. They have the ability to have it once in a while, but they're just not the same offense without Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, and those guys. And getting those explosive plays. But what they do, Amy, they just grind it out and they play every play. And they make adjustments in games so well. And that's what they did in this game. The Bills took a 9-point lead and the Chiefs went right down and scored. Then the Bills had to go back down and take another 9-point lead. But they have a fantastic defense and they're just so well coached. This game was so fun for me because the two guys they're coaching are so good at what they do and in-game adjustments and their staffs are so good. And the coordinators on both sides. It was awesome. This was the way football is supposed to be. You know what I mean?
I do. Yes, it was one of those games that require grit, toughness, savvy, smarts, obviously the strategy, and the ability to execute. But two of the best coaches in the NFL. And Sal, this was a debate that we've had on my show a few times going back to the end of last season. Had the Bills not made the playoffs the way that they did, the run that they had at the end of last year, where they ripped off five in a row and grabbed the AFC East title, people thought that Sean McDermott was on the hot seat. Safe to say that's not the case anymore, but do you ascribe to that theory?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. It goes back to what I said a little bit earlier, and I've had people ask me that as well. If you're on the outside looking in, like, and you see, okay, well, they had this dip in play or they didn't make it to their standard, they haven't made it to a Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills are the second winningest organization in the NFL over the last 5 years. The only team that has more wins is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. The Buffalo Bills have won four straight division titles. Now, yes, last year they had to get to the end of the year and squeak it out. And the reason why I say that I've never, ever subscribed to any sort of theory that Sean McDermott was or would be on the hot seat is because they have ownership, GM, and head coach aligned, same philosophy. And you have to remember, here in Buffalo, 17 years of a revolving door of all those types of people not making the playoffs. Nobody wants to go back to that. Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, they love what they have here in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott together. Can anything happen? Sure. I mean, it's sports, right? It's results-oriented business. You never know when relationships sour after a while. But right now, they have what most organizations covet, and Terry Pegula has no appetite to change that.
You mentioned the bye, which is critical, considering the schedule coming out of the bye is a bit of a buzzsaw. The Niners and then the Rams in L.A. follow that game up with a battle on the road in Detroit. Wowzers, what's your reaction to those three on the schedule?
Going into the season, and then especially, you know, looking before this game and looking at those teams going, oh, man, they have a real gauntlet. And they do. I'm not saying they don't, but I will say is, the Rams don't look quite as terrifying as maybe we thought when before the season, and they got hurt. And then even, you know, last week, they've been a little bit uneven. I mean, the Niners lost at home to the Seattle Seahawks today. The Bills took care of the Seahawks pretty easily. So I'm not sure what to think about those teams. By the way, obviously the Bills get a bye week, so they'll go into that game against the Niners. Probably Matt Milano will be back by then. His 21-day window is open. I think he'll be healthy. He'll be playing. The Bills are going to start getting healthy. Keon Coleman will be back. And the Niners have to fly across the country to play here on a Sunday night in front of a raucous crowd. So I think that's a game that they can win. Detroit's going to be tough. Detroit's going to have 10 days to get ready for that game, Amy. They play Thanksgiving and the following Thursday before playing the Bills the following Sunday. I think that's going to be a really tough game on their schedule. And then look how the schedule ends, though. Two against the Patriots with rookie Drake May and one against the New York Jets, who knows, maybe Aaron Rodgers already decided to call it quits by then.
The Bills very much in play for a top seed. As you look around at the rest of the conference, we've talked about the Chiefs. Who else has impressed you?
Baltimore did for sure, and they still do. I think Baltimore's a really good team, no doubt about that. The thing about Baltimore is sports and football is about matchups. Just a tough matchup for the Bills. To me, they match up better with Kansas City than they do against Baltimore because the Ravens are such a great running team and running downhill with Derrick Henry. The Bills are not structured to stop that. The Bills are built to stop passing teams. They're built athletically, a little bit smaller on defense, speed, athleticism on defense. And the Ravens, they bring something of a different element. Obviously, I'm super impressed with Pittsburgh and what they're doing. I still wonder, though. They won today without scoring a touchdown, right? You get into a game, if you have Josh Allen and the Bills, if Josh, you know, if you get a couple of scores, I wonder if the Steelers have the type of offense, you know, to keep pace with something like that. And I think I'm just impressed with a couple of teams lately that have been playing really well, including the team we saw tonight, the Chargers, with their defense, obviously, yes, against the Cincinnati Bengals and what they're doing right there. I know they blew the lead. But how about what Denver's doing and Bo Nix? I mean, they had a really nice game. And, I mean, all these teams are going to be really tough outs if they get into the playoffs.
Well, if you are looking for a cool video from the field level and the Bills celebration, at Sal Sports, and he's the sideline reporter for the Bills Mafia and Bills Radio Network, and what a scene it was. I know there's a new stadium that's about to open up, and yeah, I'm sure it's terrific. But thinking about how many phenomenal moments and just the wild roller coaster ride of Bills history the stadium has seen and how different it will be in the new home.
Yeah, I get that for sure, and no doubt about it. And I think that next year we'll all be, you know, here at the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, and, you know, the Bills themselves. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, you know, oral histories done and things like that of all the great moments in that stadium, you know, through the 50-plus years. The new stadium is really designed to be for Buffalo and for the fan. This is not some stadium, let's put all the bells and whistles into it so that, you know, we can just make all the money. That's not what they did here. They actually made the stadium, believe it or not. All the fans will be closer to the action than they are now. The upper deck will be 60 feet closer to the field than what it is now. It's going to be pitched. Wow. Like you're looking straight down. You're going to have that canopy over 65% of the fans, 64%, I think. It's going to encapsulate all that noise. So I'm telling you, the new stadium, it's going to be just as loud and difficult for a visiting team to come in, and it's going to be super nice and awesome. So we're all going to love it. I agree with you there. That video that I put out, I will tell you, what I do is Bills Mafia travels like nobody else, yes, right? We know that. And after Bills road games, I always shoot that same video when they win and the fans come down. And it's amazing how many Bills fans are at these road stadiums. Like you watch if it happens again in LA, you'll look out for it. And they're going to, Bills fans will take over that, just take over SoFi. They just will. We already know that. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a feel of what it's like even at a home game because, you know, while we appreciate everybody going on the road, man, being at home in that stadium tonight and this afternoon was unbelievable.
Awesome. Yeah, make sure you check it out. And Sal, I know it's been a really long day for you. Always good to have you on the show. I can't imagine it's the last time this season, so thank you for a few minutes.
No, you got it. Anytime for you. And I know you had my buddy TJ Reeves from Tampa on a few weeks ago because he called me. And, you know, all of us sideline reporters, we love being here for you late at night.
Thank you so much, Sal. Always energy. Always energy. And his videos, his podcasts, they're terrific. Make sure you check those out. He has a very active mafia following, of course. And so we always love having Sal on the show. We get a great response. And what he has to say about Sean McDermott and about why this plan and this new era, I used that word earlier on the show, but this new iteration of the Bills is gelling so quickly because a lot of these guys have been in the system because the system is established from ownership to GM to head coach. There are no cracks in the dam. There are no different philosophies that are battling against one another. Nah, they're all in lockstep. And while it's been a few years of near misses and heartbreak exits from the playoffs, the Bills, they know what they're about. They know what they want to be. And they've got guys that they're bringing up who are now offering depth in the wake of changes in this past offseason. Really good stuff from Sal. And did you hear what he said? Sean McDermott was never on the hot seat at the end of last season. That conversation will be up on our Facebook page as well as our show Twix via the podcast right after the show is done. It's always a doozy, too, because we aim to cover every game from week 11. Now, straight ahead, there is another team in the NFL that has 9 wins. Yes, you've got the Bills. Yes, you've got the Chiefs. What about those Lions now riding an 8-game win streak? We'll get to Detroit coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry takes the snap, gives it to Montgomery.
Left side, into the end zone, untouched, touchdown Detroit Lions. 9th of the season for David Montgomery.
Goff up under center, single back behind him is Gibbs. On second down, they give it to Jameer, hesitates, cuts left, looking for the edge.
Sir. To the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. Look to the left side, didn't find anything there, spun out, looked left, wide open, takes it to the house, and the Lions have a chance to hit 14 with the extra point. They lead it right now 13-3.
Jared takes, gives to Montgomery, hesitates, inside the 5, inside the 2, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions.
Give the assist to Big Penei Sewell that time, who just came up and shoved them the last yard into the end zone, and the Lions add to that lead.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It almost wasn't fair. Probably could have stopped the fight with my nod to Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. I don't even know the Jags had as much stamina as did Mike Tyson at his old age. Elder statesman of the boxing world. Maybe it's time to retire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Lions have touchdowns on all 4 of their first half possessions, and then 3 more touchdown drives in a row to begin the second half. So 7 TD drives in a row against Jacksonville, 8 total scoring drives. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs get into the end zone there in the first half. Amon-Ra extends his streak now, so 8 consecutive games with a touchdown catch from Jared Goff. Nearly 200 yards of rushing. This was a bloodbath, to be honest. The Lions, they were just flexing their muscles. 5 for 5 in the red zone. 38 first downs on a total 76 plays. So think about it. If you do the math, 38 plus 38 is in fact 76. That means they had first downs on half of their snaps. How about that? That means you're dealing from a position of strength. Half, 50% of your plays result in first downs. Wowzers. You could say a lot more. You can't defend the Jaguars. They may very well have a new head coach or a new interim head coach by this time tomorrow. I know Shad Khan has given the vote of confidence to Doug Peterson, but this is embarrassing, and it's gone from bad to worse. It wasn't Trevor Lawrence. He's still hurt, and he's dealt with a fair number of injuries that have been tough for the Jags to absorb. It was Mac Jones again, but he doesn't play defense. Thing is, the Jaguars' defense, probably really no match in the trenches anyway, but also exhausted with the nonstop having to get out there on the field. And these weren't always extended drives. The Lions can hit you quick. But it's back-breaking play after back-breaking play. Demoralizing if you're the Jaguars. And so, of course, Doug Peterson is asked about losing his job following this game.
I can't control that, and I've been around this league a long time, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, obviously, but at the same time, I still have a job to do, and that's to, get ready for a good division opponent here in 2 weeks.
We'll see what happens come Monday. They're obviously a team that's in the running for the worst record in the NFL and another number 1 overall draft pick, which is how they got Trevor Lawrence. It's interesting because when I tweeted about stopping the fight, I heard from several fans who said, no way, it needs to be as bad as possible so that changes are made, not just Doug Peterson, but Trent Baalke as well. So front office and coaching staff, to which I responded, does the fan base also want Trevor Lawrence gone? And I would say the majority said no. The majority feel like this is not on Trevor. At A-Law Radio, we've got our brand new Monday MVP poll up as we round into a brand new work week. Now, we could have put Jared Goff in this poll, no doubt. You can find it at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, and then I'll get it up on our Facebook page when we can. Jared Goff finishes with the 4 touchdown passes to go along with the 200 yards rushing, which is why I didn't recommend to producer Pete, only because it was such a balanced attack. The Lions hit the Jags in every which way. So, yes, effusive praise from one Dean Campbell for his team.
Look, everybody on offense is going to get a game ball for that. I mean, that was, you know, you get over 600 yards of offense, and you're whatever that was, 5 of 5 in the red zone, third down was outstanding. I don't know how many explosives we had, but we had a ton. And then the first downs, you know, 30-something first downs. I mean, that's a collective effort. That takes a lot of guys to be able to do that.
It felt as if Ben could kind of call anything, and we were going to make it work, and our guys showed up today. Everything's working.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
How about Jared Goff? Everything's working. He refers to Ben, the offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who passed on the chance to take the job in D.C. with the Commanders and declined to interview for other gigs. Said he had unfinished business in Detroit, and boy, is he finishing some business in Detroit. Wow. Now 8 wins in a row for these Detroit Lions, who have the best record in the NFL, tied with the Chiefs, right? So now they're at 9-1. The Chiefs absorbed their first loss. They also sit at 9-1. So the top 3 teams in terms of record, and I do believe in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. Bills, Chiefs, Lions, and then just behind them, you've got a couple of 8-2 teams. The Vikings, the Eagles, the Steelers. How about that? We're going to get to Ravens Steelers at the top of next hour, only because while we're talking about the NFC North and some of the other NFC games, I want to get to the Vikings and the Titans. So both of these games were mismatches. The Lions and the Vikings, both in games against the AFC South. And that division is having a down year, just to put it mildly. But I also want to get to Seahawks and Niners, because that game was yet another frustrating, dejecting finish. Wah, wah, wah for the Niners. Could this be the final nail in the coffin for them? I say no, only because of the nature of the NFC and because of the nature of the West, where the 3 teams at the bottom, quote unquote, are all 5-5. And that includes both Seahawks and Niners. So we'll get to that game, plus Vikings and Titans coming up. And as I say, the AFC North rivalry, a knockdown, drag out, that will start the next hour. Take our poll for Monday MVP at Amy After Hours, throwing it up on the Facebook page here. Glad to have you with us as we round into a Monday morning and a new work week. It's just another manic Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know. Nope. Never. Here's our latest sports update. Why am I so weird? And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by PXG. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football and use code football. We kick off with Sunday Night Football. J.K. Dobbins scored his 2nd touchdown of the game, a 29-yard run with 18 seconds to go to give the Chargers the lead. The Bengals would get a shot at a Hail Mary.
Burrow taps his helmet, takes the snap. They bring an extra body to rush. He throws to the end zone. It's in the air, and it is incomplete. Chargers win. The Chargers win. 34-27, Derwin knocks it down.
That was Matt Smith with the call on Chargers Radio. Chargers beat the Bengals 34-27. Now to Santa Clara, with the Seahawks trail the Niners 17-13 late in the fourth quarter.
Geno gets him back to the line of scrimmage, 22-21, gets the snap. looks, steps up, gonna run, 10, 5, Geno, touchdown, Seahawks! Holy catfish!
That was with 12 seconds to go in the fourth, Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio, and the Seahawks beat the Niners 20-17. Elsewhere, the Bills hand the Chiefs their first loss of the season as the Bills beat the Chiefs 30-21. The Bills are 9-2, the Chiefs 9-1. Elsewhere, Broncos 38, Falcons 6, Colts over the Jets 28-27, Vikings 23, Titans 13, the Steelers beat the Ravens 18-16, Saints 35, Browns 14, Rams over the Patriots 28-22, Dolphins 34, Raiders 19, the Lions over the Jaguars 52-6, and the Packers beat the Bears 20-19. NBA, the Cavaliers beat the Hornets 128-114 as the Cavaliers improved to 15-0. NHL, the Capitals over the Golden Knights 5-2, a hat trick for Alex Ovechkin. He now has 866 career goals, needs 29 to break Wayne Gretzky's record of 894. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
It's a 47-yard strike from Sam, the man on the fan, and the Vikings have taken a 6-3 lead. Snap. Sam rolls out to the right. Throws to Akers, caught at the 2, into the end zone, touchdown! Cam Akers, with his first touchdown for the Vikings this year, has catapulted the lead to 22-10.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Vikings Radio, after an early Sam Darnold fumble, this is actually a kind of a botched handoff between he and Aaron Jones. The Vikings recover and they score on three straight possessions, including a Jordan Addison 47-yard touchdown scamper. And then with Sam Darnold's rushing touchdown, it's a Justin Jefferson 31-yard catch that sets it up. And so he's able to find plenty of space as receivers are finding openings, pockets in the defense. Darnold finishes with three touchdowns, including the last one of the game to Cam Akers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just as impressive, the Minnesota defense holding the Titans under 300 yards and sacking Will Levis five times. I'm sure he's so glad he's back. He seems a little more tempered than when he was on the field before and got injured. Remember, just kind of chuck and duck beforehand and put the Titans in awkward and awful situations. Now, they're just not a complete team. They're not as talented, but Levis seemed a little more mindful in this one. Though Tennessee did have 9 flags, one in the end zone I didn't love, though. It was called unnecessary roughness, I think, helmet-to-helmet hit. And it was clear on the replay that it was not. The defender hit, I can't remember who it was. Was it Calvin Ridley? The defender hit the receiver in the chest, but in the bang-bang nature of the play and just how fast everything is happening, kind of the follow-through looked as though it was a helmet-to-helmet, but really it was just about rattling his helmet, meaning the hit to his chest was so hard and with such force that, yeah, his head snapped back. And so that was a play that Brian Callahan argued vociferously on the sidelines, and his get-back coach couldn't keep him back. He ends up getting... also getting a penalty just for the way that he was talking to the refs and what he was saying to the officials. But regardless, the Vikings defense was terrific. And the Titans just make way too many mistakes. Now, what they did have, this actually may show up again in the After Hours TD of the Week poll, because it was the longest touchdown pass of the season. 98 yards to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I mean, he just, up the sidelines he went, and for some reason the Vikings couldn't get to him. They almost looked like they weren't ready when the ball was snapped. So 98 yards for Westbrook-Ikhine. That's really the only thing the Titans can claim about this one. Meanwhile, the Vikings keeping pace in the NFC North. Kevin O'Connell's crew now 8-2 with 3 wins in a row.
Proud of the way we played relatively clean. I know we had the early turnover, which was frustrating because those types of things can't happen. But I thought Sam Darnold played really well. I thought, to get to close it out with another turnover to break even in that department was really important. And then the turnover on downs, making it hard there in the second half.
Definitely was great. It's just moving the ball and just extending those drives. I definitely felt like we took a step further, especially from last week.
Justin Jefferson likes what he sees from this team. And, yeah, you would like to do without that turnover, but the way they responded afterwards, for sure. And as for the Titans, they fall to 2-8. Jags are 2-9. There are some bad teams in the NFL this season, though you wonder how patient they'll be in Nashville, considering that it's a team that's got a brand new head coach and Will Levis is supposed to be getting the majority of these games so they can really see what it is that he's capable of, or at least give him some training. So that was Lions, Vikings. How about Packers and Bears also in this division? This was one of the candidates for TD, or no, not for TD, for Game of the Week. And the reason, because it's one of the oldest rivalries in sports, not just in football, but in sports. I know I said we'd get to Seahawks and Niners, and we will, but I feel like this game fits perfectly in here. Green Bay actually starts each of its halves with a 70-yard touchdown drive. So I like the way the Packers came out of the locker room each time, able to get on the board with their first possession. And each one had kind of a similar time and rhythm component to it. So Jaden Reed has a 15-yard touchdown catch right out of the gate. And then to start the second half, it's a different weapon for the Green Bay Packers.
Reed and Watson stack on the right. Rome wide to the left side, Romeo Doubs, and under center, here's the handoff to Jacobs, blast up the middle, touchdown, Green Bay Packers, a gaping hole through the middle of the Chicago front, you could drive a 16-wheeler there.
At the call with Wayne Larrivee on Packers radio. So yes, that Josh Jacobs 7-yard run, that starts the second half, so that to me makes a great statement, kind of a stamp in your foot at the start of each half. But there was a Jordan Love interception on the goal line, which he wanted back so badly. The way he threw his hands to his helmet, like, no! That leads to a 13-play Chicago drive, and Roschon Johnson is able to get into the end zone and give Chicago the lead. Bears also found some room later in the game for another extended touchdown drive. And we know this dude has turned into a major weapon for Chicago.
Toss left, Swift, hit the gas, 35. A little razzle-dazzle to the 20, to the 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Bears. Out of toss left, DeAndre Swift strikes swiftly. 39-yard touchdown run. Bears are back in front here in Soldier Field.
A Jeff Joniak call on the Bears radio network. So I do love the fact that with the Bears trying to wrap this losing skid, with the Packers trying to keep pace in the NFC North with the top two, you've got a major push and pull, a little bit like a tug of war. So then there's another goal line stop by Chicago. We know the defense has been really good all year long. So not only do they get the goal line interception, but then they get a fourth down stop on what was a scramble attempt by Jordan Love that really goes nowhere. The issue, though, is that Green Bay, they've got a bunch of different ways that they can hurt you. And it was a lot to ask of that Chicago defense. So on the very next possession, when the Packers get the ball back, Christian Watson goes 60 yards on a catch and run. At one point, kind of rolling. I think he rolled or he, I can't remember exactly what happened. I think it was he kind of rolled down and then got up and started running again because there wasn't a defender around him to be able to put a hand on him and mark him down. So 60 yards. That's kind of a punch to the gut when you're the Bears. But they just didn't do enough with their previous possession and didn't do enough consistently on offense. And we've seen that with the Bears this season. So Watson puts them in the red zone with that 60-yarder. And then it's a pair of Jordan Love runs or Jordan Love carries to get the job done.
Jacobs, the lone setback. Love to the line of scrimmage. Kraft motions to the right. Ball to the right hash mark. Just inside the one. Quarterback keeper Jordan Love pushed forward to the end zone for the touchdown. And the Packers take the lead. 20-19.
That was just inside of 3 minutes to go in the game. Oh, it wasn't over. I actually really like what we saw from the Bears in their final possession. They take those next 3 minutes. They get into field goal range. And they set up an attempt for their kicker, Cairo Santos. Now remember, just last week, we saw a game setting up in the final seconds in a similar fashion, and people told me it was luck.
Here's the snap, placement made. The kick is blocked!
Blocked.
It is blocked!
Blocked!
It is blocked! And the Packers have won!
Beautiful!
It is blocked! Beautiful. It comes up short, and the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears, 20-19. Oh my goodness, what a finish. Wow.
You got to come with your best every week in order to come away with a win. It's always hard to win on the road. They were 4-1 at home, so I figured this was going to be a four-quarter battle, and that's exactly what it was. It took all 60 minutes.
I do love the fact that we've had two games now in back-to-back weeks finish with a blocked kick. So the Bears come up a point short, but how about this? Seventh game of the season for Green Bay that's decided by single digits. Oh, by the way, they're 7-3. Every single one of their wins, except for one, has been decided by single digits. So they're getting to the point where they're more comfortable being uncomfortable. Now, a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams. They've got a new offensive coordinator this week. 23 of 31 for 231 yards. He doesn't have any touchdowns. He also doesn't have any interceptions, but the Bears are able to run for 179 yards.
The two plays to Rome and then also the play to Keenan. That's real football there and against a division rival, and did a really nice job putting us in position there.
Agreed. I like what I saw from the Bears on that last possession. And of course, they still have to believe in Cairo Santos. This is not just on him. It's also about the guys in front of him. And credit the Packers with a massive play. But the Bears have dropped 4 in a row. They're now at 4-6. While the Packers, as I say, trying to keep up with big brothers in the NFC North. So Lions at 9-1, Vikings 8-2. Packers 7-3, and all three of those teams could very well end up in the NFL postseason, though we're not getting ahead of ourselves. It's still only week 11. Ravens and Steelers coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.